What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
How about that youth gone wild last night in Paris?
Yeah.
Huh? That was awesome.
I watched it again, even though I knew what was happening. I watched it again.
I told T last night, I'm like, do you want to know what happens? She says, no. I said, I know what happens.
Did you see all the stars in the audience?
Nicole Kidman.
Jason Kelsey.
Spike Lee. Was Jason Kelsey there?
Yes.
I didn't see him.
Wearing a hilarious Hawaiian shirt.
Sporting the international rugby team.
Yeah.
On the Hawaiian shirt.
Which, by the way,
rugby,
let's talk about the women's rugby team with that breakaway last second run to the end zone.
They brought it.
And she runs out of gas at the end and falls into the end zone.
I had never even watched rugby.
Oh, you've never seen rugby
before?
No,
but I was like, look at her go. She just picked up the ball like you're not supposed to do in basketball, and she's running with it.
Okay, who, and I don't know what country she plays for, but I have seen videos constantly on Twitter of this one female rugby player who is an absolute animal. And it was a similar video that you guys are talking about, how she ran the entire length of the field and is just shedding women off of her left and right, absolutely annihilating them. Stiff arm here, stiff arm there.
It's like soccer meets football, but more football than soccer.
I have no idea what country she plays for, but she is an absolute animal.
I am in love with this Olympic Games.
I love it. I go home and I look forward to having the cats lay on me like a weird old cat lady and watching the Olympics. That's what I did last night.
Are you a childless cat lady?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you are?
That nest is empty.
Child out of the house cat lady, yes.
Right. You have children, but they're out of the house.
I mean, I was whooping and hollering and all that stuff. So excited.
I just got an update on the U.S. women's on my computer. I was actually hoping to watch that game tonight when I got home. I guess I don't have to now because I know the score.
I told you yesterday it is almost impossible.
Well,
to...
it came up on my computer here.
I know.
Unprovoked.
Thank you, John Grayson. If you want to look up the absolute animal of a female rugby player, she plays for New Zealand. Her last name is Maori.
Okay.
Maori. Okay.
Can I ask you something? Last night on Facebook, I saw what I thought was a joke. And by the way, it's not. The World Championships are coming up Saturday, September 7th, 2024, of a, quote, sport or activity that when I saw it on Facebook last night, I thought it was a joke. It is not.
Okay.
The World Stone Skimming Championships.
Is that like... rock skipping?
Scott,
that would be rock skipping, yes.
I played a video for Sam, and I go, this can't be real. And Sam's like, oh, it's absolutely real, and I think it's coming up. The World Championships. And there's a guy, I'm going to show you, who looks like David Letterman.
Have you ever skipped rocks?
Well, yeah, as a child, we all skipped rocks, didn't we? It's a lot harder than it looks. This guy starts skipping rocks, Scott, and they count. I don't know how they count it because it goes floom. I'm going to watch you. They count it at 42. Watch.
88 skips. And he has this interesting windup there. It almost reminds me of a Statue of Liberty type stand. Whoa, look at that.
That's a big first toss. Nice chuck.
That was on ESPN.
It's on ESPN Ocho, by the way, starting this week.
This has been regular programming on the Ocho for years now.
How are we just now learning about this?
You guys need to up your game on Hillbilly Sports, man. This is some serious stuff here.
The guy legit looks like David Letterman. He's got the long white beard. There's a lot of folk music involved, I believe. I'm not.
Now, what is that supposed to be?
I'm not.
Why is there folk music involved?
It says right here, get your tickets now. Do you get to choose your stones? I have so many questions.
It has to be flat. the rounder, the better. If it has one sharp edge, that'll help you get a good skip on the initial skip, but it doesn't help out with the later skips.
This year, by the way, the global championships are in Scotland. So book your tickets now, people. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I think it's awesome.
They prefer a nice, smooth body of water. No waves.
Really, Sam? Thank you, Captain Obvious.
The waves make it more
difficult. Why is this not an Olympic activity? If ping pong is an Olympic activity, okay, and it is. I'm not saying it's not.
Are you saying it's not a sport?
No. Well,
are you saying that ping pong is not a sport?
I'm saying it's more of an activity than a sport, and I think we can all agree stone skimming over water.
It's called rock skipping.
Okay, whatever.
They take it very seriously.
Well, how does one become a play-by-play analyst for rock skipping?
Well, I was going to ask you that, actually.
Because I was lined up here. He almost looks like this.
Yes, that was a nice chuck.
I will tell you this. My college roommate, Jeff McCarriger, is the play-by-play announcer for American Cornhole.
Wow.
You didn't get to it, Dana, but the next line in that video is, well, you can call it a toss. You would only call it a chuck if his name is Chuck. I mean, that's the high-quality announcing that we've got going on here.
See if you can find us some more rock-skipping commentary. And now the phones are ringing. This is just something that you did as a kid with your grandpa or your dad to see how far it could go. But I'm telling you guys, the guy that is skipping this rock in this video, it goes the length of, all of Brush Creek.
But here's what I'm trying to get at. So how does one become proficient, professional?
Yeah.
In, say, I don't know, ping pong play-by-play. Because
someone has to do it.
The only time you ever see ping pong on TV is during the Olympics.
I would agree with you.
The only time you ever see kayaking on ESPN
is during the Olympics.
So who are these people who are so proficient, not good enough to be professional, but good enough to comment on it?
Retired, perhaps?
We don't
know.
The
next contestant is Dave Omer of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Let's go, Dave.
He gets his rocks from Lake Erie and brings them down here.
Now, they call him the Spider-Man. You'll notice the different stance that he has there.
Yeah, it is like Spidey making a web.
Gets very close to the water.
That's nice.
Let's look at that slow motion on that.
Oh, that had to be at least 60 skips.
He's got a replay.
Spider-Man Omer. First throw is 36.
That's a nice first start. Very nice.
Wait, Sam, stop it right there. Scott, that the guy that I saw on Facebook, there is no way with the naked human eye, there is no way.
You would have to go back and count it.
You would be able to just know that was 42 skips or 30 or whatever it is.
The number of splashes. And
but it happened so fast.
They have officials sitting there staring at it.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And how 36. How does one become an official rock skipping judge?
Counter?
Well, as you said, you got to be proficient at the sport, but not good enough
it's
to compete.
It's not a sport, Sam. It's what I did when I was 8
Not
in
at
Anchorage.
This level. Not at this level. I'm going to disagree with you there, and I did not say it was a sport, but what they are doing is basically taking a stone and making it walk on water like Jesus for a mile.
Did you hear? He just said that this contestant brings his rocks all the way from Lake Erie. This competition was nowhere near Lake Erie.
Dave, where do you get your rocks off?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Dave, could we talk about your technique? No. I'm telling you guys, right after the Olympics, if you're looking for something to do, global rock skimming championships are coming to
rock
ESPN.
Skipping.
Oh, Joe.
Well, it's stone skimming.
No.
Whatever.
Or the layman's term is rock skipping.
It's called rock skipping. It's not a sport.
Yes.
They don't skip. They they what?
They skim.
They
it's
skim.
Stone skimming.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
It's a nice flat, smooth stone you have there.
All right. I want everyone to stay with us all day long, and here's why. At 3 o'clock, we have one of the most famous cartoon people in the world coming into the studio. We're not going to tell you which one.
I would argue it's the most famous.
The most famous cartoon voice ever will be sitting with us at 3 o'clock. I'm so excited.
Yes.
Then you heard us talk about this crazy baby Jessica story yesterday, mm-hmm. where a child in Kansas,
Mound Ridge,
fell down a pipe a la Baby Jessica, mm-hmm. 10 to 12 feet down. Mm. And this small town police department, they all rush there. They were able to get her out. She is doing okay. The hero of the story that fished that child out with a rope and another piece of PVC pipe.
How old was the kid? Do we know?
14 months, Sam, was it?
That is correct.
And it was a 12-inch pipe that was somehow exposed that went 12 feet down in Kansas. We will have the rescuers on.
Oh, good.
In the 4 o'clock hour. Oh, I am so excited.
But the most famous, most iconic.
Yes.
Cartoon voice.
Yes.
Of all time.
Yes.
Joins us at 3 o'clock.
I can't wait.
All right. We look forward to that here on Dana and Parks.
Putting everything he has into this one.
Uh-oh. You'll notice that the rocks are not round. They're flat, made basically for skipping, although they're not made. They're formed by, you know, nature.
This one looks like it could be up there with
one
of the top throws of the day. It's out way past that cairn.
Still skipping. Look at that. Look at that go.
All right, I don't know if this is controversy or curiosity, but Sam, could you help us understand what our Olympic athletes are sleeping on when they lay their head down at night? It's in every newspaper and every headline today.
So this has been a story every Olympics for like the last 3 or 4 since they rolled out these cardboard beds. And we've all heard the rumors that are basically not rumors anymore that in the Olympic Village,
it's a sex kingdom.
Yeah. There's a lot of very good looking people who are very athletic and they're all in the same space.
Talking to you, French diver.
Whoa.
Talking to you, mister. What is that in your pants?
So they came up with these beds, not really because it was recycled cardboard, but that was a big plus, but with the idea that the framing structure would be weak enough that they couldn't.
So
on the beds.
The cardboard beds are designed to be transportable. Demountable and
Excuse
above
me?
All this I'm reading straight
you mean
from,
mountable
and
Stop.
Above
Stop.
All recyclable. The approach is part of a broader sustainability strategy for the Paris 2024 games. They designed the cardboard beds so they can support up to 3 or 4 people jumping because, quote, after winning a medal, people are very happy.
Right, because if 3 or 4 people can jump on it, 2 people can't.
It's waste reduction. They have gone from 800,000 furniture items to 600,000.
God, the jokes that are going in my head
No, this is actually a thing. And the New York Times wrote about this and said, should we all be looking at cardboard beds as a more sustainable? Because think about it, when you're done with your mattress after 6 or 10 years, however long you're supposed to keep a mattress, those just go into a landfill, don't they?
Well, now keep in mind that this is just the bed frame that's cardboard. There are still mattresses on top of it. They're not sleeping on the cardboard.
Well, then where do the mattresses come from? That's not sustainable. Are they trying to say that the headboard and footboard were saving that?
I don't think the drive for these beds was the sustainability. It was the anti...
One champion, and this is from Board Panda today, has slammed... the Olympic Village, saying it cost her record. It is a swimmer. I'm not going to give it away, but she slammed the ridiculous conditions inside Olympic Village.
There is no lower lumbar support.
No.
Does LeBron James have to sleep in the same kind of bed, or does he get like a luxury hotel?
I'm assuming if you're LeBron James, you're in a hotel.
Like Simone Biles, does she sleep in the Olympic Village?
She says, quote, it probably wasn't the time I thought I was capable of swimming, but living in the Olympic Village makes it very hard to perform. It is definitely not made for high performance. It's really about who can keep it together in their mind.
And of course, every single Olympics, these athletes take to social media posting videos of themselves like body slamming the beds to show that they're not actually...
quote, the Olympics have always been this way. That's the way it is. And that's the beauty of the Olympic Village. You should deal with it. Listen to this. Retired Olympic swimmer James Magnussen took a dig at the Olympics, writing in an op-ed for the Daily Telegraph this week that the Olympic Games are, quote, about trying to get the perfect performance in the most imperfect environment imaginable.
But the idea of us switching to cardboard bed frames makes no sense. Because the cardboard bed frame is going to break down.
I agree.
So let's kill another tree so I can get a new cardboard bed frame.
Well, what do you want them to make it of? Wood?
Or I
mean, talk about killing a tree.
The same dumb metal one that I've had for 30 years that still works because it's made of metal.
The mattresses are, they're actually not mattresses. They're polythene pads. I would not call that a mattress.
Well, it's a memory foam pad, but...
Okay, look underneath it, Scott. It is completely cardboard.
Okay, but that's just the frame. That's not the mattress
that you're sleeping on. I mean, I feel like for...
You hoity-toity Olympic athlete.
For an Olympian, where lumbar support is important?
All right, can we stop using the word Olympian? If you're Simone Biles or Ledecky or LeBron James, yes, you are an Olympian. But there are some of these sports. I mean, let's be honest. If you call yourself an Olympian and you're playing that, then you probably deserve to sleep on a cardboard box.
The lack of lumbar support is really messing up my ping pong game, okay?
Wow.
I mean, you're basically on a mattress foam bed. And that's okay. Remember in 1996 when the Olympics were held in Atlanta, The athletes, the Olympic Village, do you remember where it was? It was the dormitories at Georgia Tech. That's where they stayed.
By the way, the Olympians are not required to stay in the Olympic Village. So if they have the monetary means to stay wherever
they want to, very few of them do.
Apparently, the USA men's basketball team is in a hotel.
I'm sure they are.
No cardboard beds for you.
No.
Those million-dollar contracts can afford a lot.
No. By the way, Ledecky, did you see her last night?
Oh, my gosh.
She was so good. Sam and I were talking about this during the break. She was so good last night that when they showed video of her swimming.
Touching the wall.
There was no one else in the video.
They were like 16 seconds behind her. And I mean, the aerial shot of it, Scott, when she touches the wall, there's no one else in frame in the pool. Nobody.
She's incredible.
When she hit the finish line, the other swimmers had just touched for the final lap at the other end of the pool.
Unbelievable.
Still had a full length to go.
Unbelievable.
There was no one else even in the frame.
And she is swimming right now, and we will not tell you how she's doing.
No, we will not.
I hope she's not sleeping on cardboard.
Well, I would imagine she is in a hotel. In a very comfortable king-size bed with water service. By the way, did you just say waterbed?
I did.
Okay, can I ask a question? I thought about this the other day.
Where did they go?
Yeah. Whatever happened to the waterbed?
It was the world's worst invention ever.
Yeah, talk about no lower lumbar support.
Who didn't have a friend in the 80s and early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Who had a waterbed?
Who didn't have a friend who then accidentally used a ballpoint pen or a knife or something, accidentally a screwdriver, and then it springs a leak upstairs and your entire lower level is flooded. Apartments wouldn't allow them. Spring one leak in one of those things and it's a massive insurance claim.
Did you ever have a waterbed?
My mom did.
So my roommate, Mike Ward at KU, had a waterbed. My future brother-in-law had a waterbed when he went to K-State. Also had a mirror on the ceiling.
Okay.
What?
Weirdo.
What?
Which I thought was kind of weird. But
spotlights?
I'm like, the ladies' man? Saturday Night Live?
He was the ladies' man. But whatever happened to the waterbed?
Well, insurance.
Yeah, in all reality, they were also horrible for the structure of your home because of the weight of the water.
Yeah.
I mean, people's bedroom floors would start sinking because of how heavy these things were.
Can you buy a waterbed now?
I do not think so.
They're not for sale.
I don't think you can buy one. And filling it up with a hose in the room, and the whole thing is just... And then
creepy.
You've got you're sleeping on moldy water.
Let me ask you something. If you were like college age, young, thinking about maybe I'm going to start a relationship with this guy. You've been out on like 3, 4, 5 dates. You go back to his apartment. No. You go back to his apartment, and he has a waterbed.
I'm out.
Do you beeline it to the door?
Are the Bee Gees playing in the background?
Well, I don't know.
Lowe's has 81 varieties of waterbeds that you can buy right now.
You've got to be kidding me.
81 different options. Lowe's.com.
No kidding.
The results are There's a lot of them.
What do they cost?
Anywhere from $300, that's just for the big plastic bag that you fill with water, to like $1,400, including a nice fancy frame, some pillows.
Don't give out the name of what's going on here, but look at the TV. Yes. Let's just say there's nobody else in the screen. We are not going to tell you the competition. We will just simply
because
say
there is none.
There is
nice.
Will you please go get my
what's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from the Economic Times. What's in a name, you may wonder? If you go by the latest study, it has a lot of bearing even on how you look.
Okay.
Like, you know, when somebody says, well, he looks like a Steve.
Yeah.
Or he looks like a David. Or you look like a Dana.
Or Minerva.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Huh?
Beg your pardon?
Minerva.
The study, which was conducted by researchers in Israel, found that a person's name may influence their facial appearance as they age. Led by Professor Ruth Mayo, no relation, the research indicates that individuals may change their looks over time to align with cultural expectations linked to their
name. To look more like a Steve or a Sam, because there's a lot of Sams, or an Amy.
How one does that, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Says here, Mayo's team ran a series of experiments with both human participants and machine learning algorithms to investigate the connection between names and facial features. The findings were recently published in a journal that I know you subscribe to, Proceedings of the National Academy of Science.
It's on my nightstand.
I know.
What does a Sam look like?
What does a Claire look like? It's a family name.
Claire?
It's a fat girl's name. It's a family name.
Are you saying I'm fat?
One of the greatest lines in the Breakfast Club.
The study found that both adults and children could match adult faces to their names more accurately than chance would dictate.
No way.
This implies that the connection between names and facial appearance becomes recognizable in adulthood. Dana, I just read the news.
Is it because like a 50-year-old white guy is not unlikely to be named Chad, Scott, Steve, Mike, or John?
John,
I don't think so.
There's a lot of Johns.
I know, but I'm just saying, like,
we have
you're telling me they gave these kids a panel of faces and said, what do you think his name is?
What they're saying is that based on your name, you will change over time your own facial expressions.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
We have two Johns that work for KMBZ, and they do not look anything alike.
But do they look like a John? Because I think you look like a Sam.
But that's because you've only known him as a Sam. I think you look like a Dana.
Wouldn't it be crazy if one day you just came out and you were like, I've been lying this whole time. My name is not Sam. It's Bartholomew.
Bart for short. What do you think he really looks like?
He looks just like a Sam.
What do you think I look like?
You look like Scott.
Cold turd on a paper plate.
Now, I'm harder because it's a woman's name and a man's name.
So you look like a Jennifer to me.
Well, that's because of my age and everyone you went to high school with.
A Kimberly.
Was Kimberly, Jennifer, or Amy.
Karen.
There were a lot of Amys.
What? First of all, I am not old enough to be a Karen. I cannot believe you just said that.
Oh, hell.
Karen is, I was born in.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying, more of 1960s. Like, I remember where I was when Kennedy was shot, Karen. I was not born.
Well, if you remember where Kennedy was shot, or when Kennedy was shot, you were born in the 50s.
Okay, I'm saying Karen is a lovely name. I don't have a problem with it. But I am too young to be a Karen. There are no people my age that are Karen.
Why did you take that as an offense?
Yeah, All I did was drop a bomb and start laughing. Man, I didn't mean anything by that.
He threw a grenade into your foxhole and you jumped out.
Because I think it harkens back to age. There's no one my age named Karen. Karens are 60 years old and older.
That is not true.
And the same with Linda, Pat, as a woman. Oh, absolutely true.
By Pat, you mean Patty or Patricia?
I'm just saying there are certain. When I was in my bowling league,
here we go. Boy, try to make yourself sound younger.
There were several women in the bowling league. It was a golf bowling league, but several women with the same name.
Which was?
Linda, Pat, Sue.
Susan.
But they go by Sue.
I have an Aunt Sue.
What else would you say my mom's age? Pam.
Margaret.
You don't hear that anymore. No, Margaret's come back around.
Maggie has come back around, yeah. But Margaret has not.
The name Karen peaked in popularity in...
It's the 60s, I'm telling you.
1957.
See?
Its most recent peak was 1965.
Oh my gosh, I told you. If you look up 1974, how many people named their child Karen, you're going to get a big fat goose egg.
And
nobody.
Since 2010, it has gone down to virtually none.
Well, we know why. Which is sad because it's a nice name.
No, that's not why.
Did you say 74?
Yes.
She was born in 74.
There were 5,893 per 1 million babies born named Karen.
And Dana said to me off the air, she goes, and their parents all hated them.
I'm kidding. It's just not a younger woman's name. Let me give you an example. Norman. My grandfather's name was Norman. I love that man with every cell and fiber of my being. When my youngest son was...
Is he the one who's retired?
No, they've both passed away. But when my youngest son was about to be born, I called my mom and dad, and I said, I am really thinking about Norman. And my mom...
In the early 2000s?
He's an 06 baby. And my mom... There was a pause.
Oh, no.
Listen, there was a pause on the other. I love my grandpa Norman. There was a pause on the other end of the phone that was long enough to make me uncomfortable. And she just goes, oh, Dana, no. And I go, why not?
Big Juicy was right.
Why? Norm is a great name.
My mother wanted to name me Mayo. Mayo the third.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone there.
I don't think that one's ever registered on the name.
Never, ever.
Chart.
What year did that peak? Never. We've gone back to 1400 BC.
There's actually only been two men ever named Mayo. One was my dad and one was my grandpa.
Norman peaked in...
The 40s. That's a war name.
1931.
Yeah, it's a war name.
Look up Mayo. See what if Mayo is ever registered as a man's name.
Cannot compute.
Swing and a miss. Google has Norman... I bring up Norman because it's in the same wheelhouse as a Karen, where over the years, those World War II names, and then probably on to the 50s and 60s, some of those names faded and did not come back.
Well, Scott is a name that has faded.
Absolutely,
it has. I mean, Scott, nobody.
Eric is another one from when we were growing up. There were a lot of Erics.
Nobody names their kid Scott. Nobody names their kid Todd, which is my brother's middle name, by the way. For reasons I still do not know, there is no familial reason to name my brother Stephen Todd Parks.
None. STP?
Yes.
Like the gas station?
And like Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
Mayo is not currently listed in the most popular names.
What was it ever?
No.
Its popularity spiked in...
1450?
1893.
Okay.
Did it really?
It did.
1893.
It did.
For you.
It ranked 809. That was its highest rank.
Wow.
In 1893.
We were still under British rule.
That's my middle. You know that's my middle name.
I know.
Scott Mayo Parks.
I know.
It fell out of all ranking categories in 2005 completely. They just stopped following it.
It's not even flagged.
In 2005,
for any
there was
reason.
One.
So sad. It's a beautiful name. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, welcome back. Okay, didn't realize there was a bad word coming up. There's a picture of Mick Jagger at the Olympics, and he's surrounded by a bunch of young people. Uh-huh. And it just says, imagine being a millennial at the Olympics, staring at your cell phone. They all are. And you have no clue that you're sitting right next to Mick Jagger. How sad. Anything goes, apparently, on Family Feud. Steve Harvey repeated a racy answer that he said he's never uttered before on yesterday's episode of Celebrity Family Feud.
Tony, something Miss Peanut threatened Miss Peanut to do if she gets mad.
Break his nuts.
My man. My man. My man.
Push pause, push pause.
The band.
The question was, name something specific that Mrs. Peanut might threaten to do to Mr. Peanut when she gets angry. It was Team Papa Roach, the band, that answered, break his nuts. Okay. Sam continues.
They had a real good humor. Never be able to say this on TV except now. Break his nuts!
Papa Roach went on to say, I don't know how the hell that's not up there.
By the way, it was Papa Roach versus Daughtry.
Who's Papa Roach?
Papa Roach?
Mm-hmm.
It's a heavy metal band.
Cut my life into pieces.
Sorry. Not familiar.
What?
I've heard the name, but I didn't know who it was. I mean, you could have said to me, for $1 million, is that an athlete, an author, a guitar player, like, or an actor? I would not know.
Really?
I've heard the term, I just would not know.
You've definitely heard the song that I just referenced, but we cannot play it on the air.
Why? I don't think he has a bad word in the
naughty.
Beginning.
It's
I don't
naughty.
Give a blank.
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen to this, you guys. This is so sad, but also, what the heck? What the heck? A phone scammer has tricked a woman out of several thousand dollars first, which is horrifying, but then also tricked her into undressing to, quote, verify her identity, according to authorities in Ohio. A phone scammer convinced a woman to transfer him nearly $6,000, which she did. He then tricked her into undressing on a FaceTime call to prove her identity.
That she was a woman?
The woman received a call July 23rd from a man saying he was from a bank. The man said, there's fraudulent activity on your account. You need to move your money so it won't be stolen. We've talked about this, people. The woman took down the numbers to a bank account that the fraudster gave her and put the debit card information into her Apple wallet per the fraudster's instructions. She went to the ATM, transferred $5,900 to his account. She's never getting the money back. Then she went home. The phone scammer continued, called her via FaceTime, but did not turn on his camera. The caller asked the woman to provide him with a, quote, full body scan to verify her identity because the transaction failed. He tricked the woman into undressing and spinning in circles as a full body scan verification.
And again, how old is the woman?
It does not say.
This sounds like a skit on, like, South Park.
Sam, it's not. Listen, this breaks my heart, but you guys, this is why we have to have these conversations with everyone in our life. I don't even care if you have a PhD, remind everyone that your bank is not going to call you and say, I need you to go bring me some Bitcoin, and then also take your shirt off. The woman says she did not realize the call and transaction was a scam until she heard the fraudster laughing on the other end of the FaceTime.
From the text line, and I agree with this, the fact that people are still falling for scams over the phone
blows my mind. I know, but we talk about this all the time.
Somebody else wrote, this is why I started working out. You got to look good every time the bank asks me to undress.
Of course. That's why I go to the gym.
I mean, come on, Dana. I mean, there
clearly
are some...
Clearly look at my washboard abs, sir. It's me.
Now, there are some people who are either... I want to be polite.
We don't know anything about this woman. We do not know her age.
Why would you take your clothes off on a FaceTime?
For a full body scan, Scott. I don't know. I wouldn't do it, but she did it.
You are either senile, which I can certainly forgive. You're having some... You're old and your brain doesn't work.
Okay, but why would a fraudster say to an 80-year-old woman, I need to see you naked to verify your age?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so you're either old and senile.
Okay.
Or you're dumb. That's the end of the debate. There is no more debate. You're either old and senile or you're dumb.
I would agree.
She's out $5,900.
Well, you know what?
I know.
Maybe you should be. Because you're that dumb. You're so dumb you don't deserve $5,900.
Now, when you answer the phone and they immediately start saying these things to you, you're just like, oh, yeah,
Your clothes?
Yeah.
Come on.
You must be telling the truth.
It's getting hot in here.
You know, when I go to pay my mortgage and I have to go pay it tomorrow morning, I'm not even going to walk in with pants on.
Do you normally?
No.
Oh, okay.
That way they know who I am.
Right. Full body scan.
Yeah. Here comes Scott. Not wearing pants anymore. Stopped wearing them about 10 years ago.
Okay.
He must be here to pay his mortgage and take out a withdrawal.
I know.
I mean, come on, man.
I don't think... I'm looking at a couple of the local stories just because I'm curious. I don't think she's sat down for an interview. I mean, you wouldn't.
I would hope not. She would need to bring a towel.
No. Stop it. You would be so mortified... Yeah, no, the woman they're talking to is a law enforcement officer, and she is fully dressed, FYI.
Thankfully.
Praise Jesus.
Oh, my God, that poor woman. Come on. And then you know there was a point that she called police, and she's like, you know, I'm out $5,900. Can you help me? And then there's going to be a pause on the other end of the line, and then she's like, but wait, there's more. God bless her.
Not only am I broke...
rather be out $5,900 than undress for some weird creeper fraudulent guy laughing at me from a half a world away.
And the fact that he couldn't hold it in and started laughing.
And didn't even turn on his camera on the FaceTime.
Well, I'm guessing it didn't look like he was sitting in a bank lobby, Scott.
You think?
What are you wearing, khakis?
God. God bless her.
One of the most iconic cartoon actors in the world joins us next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.